This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Kia ora. Welcome to the Kiwi Birth Tales podcast and thanks for tuning in this week. I'm your host, Jordan. I'm a mum of one, soon to be two boys, and a lover of all things birth and a very passionate storyteller. The goal of Kiwi Birth Tales is to empower, inform, educate and connect families from New Zealand and all over the world, talking about the things that are so often kept to ourselves or shared with only our nearest and dearest because of this taboo that seems to surround sharing stories about birth. All stories deserve to be heard, no story more important than the other, and with this podcast you'll get a variety without bias. The podcast is not intended for medical advice. I'm not an advocate for any particular mode of birth or birth care, and this platform is simply here to share these beautiful, empowering Kiwi Birth Tales with you all. So I hope you enjoy. This week's episode of Kiwi Birth Tales is proudly brought to you by Your Birth Project. Your Birth Project is an online hypnobirthing course that is based here in New Zealand, and you can access it anytime. So it's a course that you can use at your own time. It's not live, so you can just watch it whenever it suits you, which is really helpful for those who can't attend in-person courses or just prefer to learn online. The course covers a range of comfort method techniques. It has some awesome meditations. It will take you through the different stages of labor and how that impacts how you might be feeling at a certain time. And there's so much more. There's a really awesome birth partners section. So for you and your birth partner to watch to understand how they might be able to help you during labor and birth. And at the end, there is an absolutely beautiful birth video with Rebecca Keel, and that includes her surrogacy birth with little Ziggy, so Tess and Dan's little boy Ziggy. So that birth was videoed and has been included in the course, and I think it's just such a beautiful addition. Rebecca's an absolute superstar, so I know that you will love that. If you have any questions about the course, please feel free to reach out to me. It is $89 New Zealand. So hopefully it is accessible for a really wide range of people, and I just think that education is absolutely power, and knowing your options and making informed choices can make such a difference to our mindset and how we feel about our birth. So super passionate about that, obviously, which is why I created the course. So you can head to www.yourbirthproject.com. Or you can go to @yourbirthproject on Instagram and check out all of the testimonials. There's literally hundreds of them from the almost 1,000 mums who have done the course. So yeah, I just know that you're going to love it. In this week's episode, I speak with Nikki, and Nikki takes us through her pregnancy and birth story with her son, Bodhi. She's also currently pregnant, which is awesome. Nikki talks us through her pretty straightforward pregnancy where she decided to go with an obstetrician for her care. She did all of the standard testing, so she talks us through that. And she also had a breech positioned baby, so they did an ECV at 36 weeks, which after a couple of tries was successful. And then Nikki ended up being induced at 40 weeks for reduced movements. She takes us through that induction experience and then into her birth story where baby became a bit distressed and they needed to use the vacuum to get him out. But she talks about that really positively, which I think is really awesome to hear her experience and how she sort of found that. And then she takes us through her postpartum period where she talks about the sort of transition into motherhood and how she struggled with the identity piece, and particularly around previously being someone who was really ambitious in their career and then making a change to deciding not to go back to work. So yeah, I just think it's a really awesome episode, and Nikki's super honest with us about how she's found the first sort of year of motherhood. So I hope you enjoy the episode. I'd absolutely love to hear from you. If you could leave me a review if you listen on Apple Podcasts, or a star rating, or just send me a message on Instagram or an email, I always appreciate hearing from you. That's probably enough from me. Let's jump into the episode. Hey, Nikki, thanks so much for joining me on the podcast today.
Thank you so much for having me, Jordan. I'm really excited to be here.
No worries. Would you like to tell our listeners a little bit about you and who is in your family?
Perfect. Hi, everyone. My name's Nikki. I live in Auckland with my husband, Corey. We have a 15-month-old son, Bodhi, and we are expecting our second child, who's on the way and due in November this year.
Nice. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Awesome. Very cool. And do you want to talk us through what the journey to pregnancy was like for you the first time around?
Yeah, of course. So it was a planned pregnancy, although I didn't quite expect that it would happen so soon. I was on the pill for over 10 years. So when I initially came off, I went and saw my doctor, who sort of said, look, expect at least a year for your hormones to level out. I was very, very fit as well, so I didn't actually know if I would get a period. I teach at Les Mills, and fitness and activity sort of plays a big role in my life. So I didn't know how soon it would happen, but sort of second month in, I did successfully fall pregnant.
Yeah, awesome. Cool. And how were you feeling when you found out? Did you take a test, or what sort of made you think that you might be pregnant?
I just remember I was extremely dehydrated all the time. I would drink like liters and liters of water.
Yeah,
which I actually don't drink a lot of water normally, which is pretty bad. But the first thing I noticed was I was just drinking so much water. And the second time I was in a meeting we had a supplier bring us morning tea in, and there was some sandwiches, salmon and cream cheese, and the salmon wasn't even near me. It was at the other end of the table, but I could smell it a mile away, and I just, my sense of smell was extremely heightened. So
yeah,
those sort of two things sort of made me think, I'm feeling a little off. But to be honest, I didn't know whether it was just sort of me thinking things. And then I was actually on a leadership course, and I was away, so I was sort of out in the rural area of Auckland, and I was feeling a little off the day earlier, and it was about 5:30 a.m. in the morning, so I googled, when does the local countdown open? And so it opened at 6, so I got in my car and drove to the local countdown, and then got a test, came back and did the test, and I sort of just left it there because I was like, I don't know. Yeah, I just thought I'll leave it there and I'll come back and look at it. And I sort of left it for 5 minutes, came back, and sure enough, it was positive, which was really, really exciting. I called my husband straight away and sent him a photo and just said, oh, you know, have a look at your phone. I just sent you a photo, and he was absolutely over the moon. And as I say, yeah, we didn't expect it so soon, but very, very grateful that we were lucky enough to conceive.
Yeah, awesome. Cool. And what was the rest of your first trimester like? Did you have many other symptoms that sort of popped up after those initial ones that made you think you might be pregnant?
I went to Croatia shortly after I found out I was pregnant. So I did really struggle in terms of heat and just being really lethargic and lack of energy. But other than that, I was pretty lucky. It was just more my energy sort of shifting and taking a toll. I didn't have any extreme morning sickness. So was quite lucky in that regard.
Yeah. Awesome. Cool. And did you decide to go with a midwife for your care?
I actually went with an obstetrician, and he was absolutely fantastic. And the reason I went with an obstetrician was just merely if something went wrong, or just more peace of mind having the right person in the room who was able to cover off any basis of any events. So that's purely why I went with Philip. I had Philip Beattie from Origins.
Yeah, awesome. Cool. And so what did that sort of first trimester of care look like then? Did you meet with him at all during that first trimester? And yeah, what sort of happened there?
Yep. So I met with him, it would have been around a couple of times. I think I had two meetings with him during the first, maybe it was one to two meetings with him during the first trimester. And I also opted to get the NIP test done. So obviously a blood test and that was sent away and made sure obviously there was everything with the baby was really healthy, and also did find out the gender early. It was more sort of in the second and third trimester that you know, I was catching up with him more and more, and it became sort of fortnightly and weekly later on in my pregnancy.
Awesome. Cool. And did you do all of the other sort of standard testing, like the 20-week scan and gestational diabetes and stuff like that?
Yes, I did. And those were all fine.
Yeah, cool. Awesome. And how were you feeling towards the end of your third trimester? Like, did you notice that you sort of were struggling a bit more physically, or did you feel pretty good throughout your pregnancy? What was that like?
Yeah, it was good. Around 24 weeks, so Bodhi was head down, and then he flipped and was breech. So kind of unusual that that happens. So I sort of tried everything to naturally, I guess, flip him around. Did acupuncture, moxibustion, which is like a Chinese medicine where you sort of burn over a pressure point. So did that for about a month. So when I was about 28 to 32 weeks, to see if that would encourage him to turn. Unfortunately, it didn't. So it was, I was basically booked in at around 34 weeks for a C-section. And something inside me, I was very open about my what my birth looked like, but for some reason I just wanted to avoid a C-section. So it was booked in. I was actually meeting with the anaesthetist later that week, and Philip said to me, look, you know, there is one other thing we can try. It's not guaranteed, but we can book you into the hospital, and you can we can try for an ECV, which is basically externally rotating the baby to head down. And there's cases where it can be successful and also unsuccessful. So at 36 weeks, we did do the ECV.
Yeah, cool. And how did you find that experience? I've heard from a few mums on the podcast before who've done that, but not too many. So what was your experience with it like?
So I went in there and I was just really hoping for the best. I was in a very calm state of mind. I just had my music on, and I read a lot of stuff online, almost like imagining that the baby, you know, the baby does move inside you when they're doing it. It took them about, the first two attempts, they weren't able to turn him. So I was really starting to think, oh my gosh, this isn't going to work. And then they got in another nurse, and two of them were doing the manipulation, and it was extremely painful. It was not a pleasant experience. And days after, I was feeling very tender and sore. And it was successful, though, when they both did it. It was sort of the last attempt that they were going to do, because obviously we didn't want to stress Bodhi out, but was fortunate enough that it did work, and I was able to avoid a C-section, which is something that I really wanted to do. But in saying that, if the ECV was unsuccessful, I knew that I'd tried everything naturally in my power and medically that, you know, it just obviously wasn't meant to be.
Awesome. Cool. And so did you do, I guess, just side note before we talk about what happens next, did you do any antenatal classes or like birth education, anything like that in the lead up to your birth?
Yep. So I went to antenatal classes, and I did that through Holistic Baby, through Kathy McCormick, who is amazing. I also did some reading in terms of hypnobirthing and went to a hypnobirthing course, which I found really, really helpful in terms of just, you know, mindsets and breathing techniques. Other than that, I sort of didn't do a lot of reading in terms of what to expect when the baby was born. I kind of just wanted to, see how I went with it and sort of have no expectations and keep an open mind.
Nice. And did you have any thoughts on how you might want your birth to go now that you knew you may be able to try and birth vaginally?
Yeah, so as I say, I always wanted to have a vaginal birth. I was very open how that looked like. So as long as the baby arrives safely, then being able to do it, vaginally was my preference. However, as I say, I kind of went in there with no expectations. I didn't want to be let down or feel that I wasn't able to, have the birth that I wanted. So I went in with a very open mind.
Awesome. Cool. And did you do anything in preparation for birth, like antenatal expressing or perineal massage, raspberry leaf tea, any of the sort of list of things that you can try?
Yeah, I did. Well, we were in lockdown actually,
Right, yeah.
so I did curb walking, I did pineapple, I did raspberry leaf tea, and in the end I sort of gave up. I was walking up massive amounts of stairs each day. It was, yeah, quite funny now I think back. But yeah, I sort of tried a few things and then was sort of like, oh, well, he's got a mind of his own and he's gonna come when he intends to do so. Those were the main ones.
Yeah, awesome, cool. And did your labor end up starting spontaneously?
So at four, just under 40 weeks, so I was 39 weeks and 6 days, I had a check-in with Philip, and my movements were starting to decrease, and that was partly A because of the positioning of my placenta, and also Bodhi was really, really big. So it was sort of decided that it would be best to induce me, just because movement was starting to get a little bit more limited. So I was induced. So I went in and had my check-in with Philip on the Tuesday, and the next day, the Wednesday that evening, I was in at Auckland Hospital and got induced in the evening.
Yeah, awesome, cool. And do you want to take us through that experience? So, how
Yeah.
did that all start, and what was the induction like, and then into your labour and birth story from there?
Yeah, sure. So we arrived at the hospital about 7 p.m. and then I've got my first round of gel at about 8 p.m. Nothing seemed to happen. So when Philip came in, he said, look, we'll do the gel and I'll come back in and check on you the next day. So he arrived back in that morning at about 7 a.m. But the nurse on call sort of gave me my next round of gel at 5 a.m. that morning. So I had two rounds. At around 7, 8 a.m., I was starting to feel like something was happening. So after the second round of gel, and Phillips said to me, how are you feeling? And I just said, look, I'm starting to feel quite, like something is definitely happening. And the pain was starting to get up there for me. So I was trying to avoid an epidural. And so Philip said, well, obviously we can opt to give you some pethidine, which I did, but that made me feel quite sick. So it didn't have actually much effect on me at all. So at about 8 a.m. we had the pethidine. And as I say, it didn't do too much. And things really progressed quickly from there. At about 8:30 a.m., I had full-blown contractions. So there was literally no break. It felt like in between contractions. They were just back to back to back, and they were all in my back. So I just felt this heavy, heavy weight on my back. And I didn't get any break at any point in time. So I was kind of at that point of desperation, and I said, I want the epidural, like just give it to me. So the nurse coming, who was caring for me, came in, and we went through to the birthing suite, and that was about 9 a.m. At about 8:30 a.m., just before they took me to the birthing suite, I was about 2 centimeters dilated. By 9:30 a.m., I went from 2 centimeters to 7 centimeters. So it was really, really, really quick. And Lucky enough, I was able to get my epidural straight away. There was some kind of some concerns around that because obviously with lockdown, people not being available, I was really fortunate enough that I was able to get it within, I think it was like 30 minutes. So had the epidural at about 9:45 in the morning, and I felt the urge very shortly after that I needed to push, and my the midwife and nurse caring for me at the time said, "Oh, like, sure?" And I said, "Yep, I definitely need to push." So I said, "Where's Philip? He needs to get back here right now." So from there, it was about 9:45, as I say, and within 30 minutes, things progressed really, really quick. I had the epidural and felt the need to start pushing, and I pushed for about 15-20 minutes. During the time when I was pushing, there was some signs of Bodhi becoming really distressed, so they're a little bit concerned about that. And obviously wanted to get him out as safe as possible. So when I was pushing, I was pushing for no longer than 15 minutes, and he was coming out, and he was just about out, and then he started to get quite distressed again. His heart rate started to drop, and so did mine. So in that occasion, Philip made the call to use the vacuum to get him out, and he was out and delivered really safely. So I think that all my entire labor was about from 8 a.m. to 10 to 11. So he's born at 10:50 a.m. So it was about 3 hours and 50 minutes. So it was really, really quick and fast. And it all happened so quickly. I do remember one of my wishes was to sit in the water and to be in water or be in the shower, but in the midst of it all, I completely forgot about everything. I was relatively calm. Corey was very shocked that I wasn't screaming the hospital down. In fact, I didn't even speak to him the whole time, except once when he was rubbing my back, and I just said, "That's fine. I'm fine. Please stop rubbing my back." So I was just focused on my breathing and being as really calm and. Just knowing that everything was out of my control and that everything was going to be perfect one way or another. So I'm just kind of surrendering to the process and knowing that my body was capable of birthing our beautiful son, which it did. So I was really, really grateful. It was very intense, it was very fast, and as I say, it was felt like back-to-back contractions from about 8 a.m. So there was no break, but very grateful that he arrived safely and was nice and healthy.
Yeah, amazing. And with the epidural, do you want to just sort of describe to us, like, did the epidural take away the pain, but you still felt a pressure and that's how you knew to push? And then what did it actually do for you during that pushing phase? Like, do you just want to talk us through that a little bit?
So it definitely took away the pain. I said to them, "Oh my gosh, why have I gone this long without the epidural?" I was just like, "I will never make this mistake again, like never." It took away all the pain. I still felt the pressure. And when I was pushing, I just my body almost it was like working in sync. It just knew when to push. And I said that was one of my concerns to Philip. I said, "How do I know when to push?" And he said, "Look, if you don't know, then we'll tell you. But you may be able to. Your body will sort of give you this feeling," and it did. And so I just felt the pressure, and it's almost like a downward force to push when I was able to do so. And as I say, I only pushed for 10 to 15 minutes. It was very quick, and he was basically halfway out. And then obviously there was intervention needed.
And with the intervention, did you need an episiotomy as well, or just the vacuum?
Just the vacuum. So I was lucky, and also I just had a very minor graze, so I didn't have I did have it one small stitch, but I didn't have any tearing or anything like that. And yeah, I think that was partly, as I say, I was just very calm and just focused on my breathing and just what I could control, and just being, yeah, present in the moment.
Yeah, awesome. Cool. And did they pop him up onto your chest as soon as he was born, or what happened from there?
So they popped him straight onto my chest when he was born, and I just, yeah, it was this surreal feeling. Like, I couldn't believe that he was here. And I mean, having him in your stomach for the last 9 months and just imagining that moment, it was really, really special. And yeah, just hearing his first cry, and knowing that, oh, he's okay, it was just, yeah, like a sense of relief. And all the pain that I went through, I was, you think, oh my gosh, it's so painful. It just it absolutely went away, and you're just like, wow, like I feel absolutely content.
Yeah, amazing. Cool. And did you do like delayed cord clamping, and did you want to do skin to skin and all that sort of stuff?
Yep, so did delayed cord clamping, did skin to skin for, yeah, for over an hour, and Bodhi naturally latched on to my breast and just started feeding himself, which was really, really good. I was always very nervous about the breastfeeding side of things. That was probably the thing for me about whether I would be able to feed him. But he latched on really well, and we had skin to skin. And then, yeah, my husband was able to hold him and spend some really special time with him. And then, yeah, they were really, really great at Auckland Hospital. I was up not a couple of hours later having a shower, and that did the world of good for me. And was then shortly after went to birth care.
And were there any restrictions? Like, were we in level four lockdown at that time?
Yeah, so it was level four. So when when we went to the hospital initially the day before, so that was on the Wednesday morning, sorry, the Tuesday evening, we packed like a massive suitcase with everything, because once you were in, you weren't allowed out. So Corey was sort of stuck with us and unable to go anywhere. So we just made sure that we packed everything we needed. And then when we went to birth care as well, we were really fortunate that he was allowed to stay. And yeah, as a new mum, I felt, yeah, because we couldn't have family with us, I was really appreciative that he could come to the hospital and also to birth care with me. Because I think the days afterwards are the hardest, and adjusting to what life is, with a baby.
And so how long did you end up spending in birth care?
I spent 2 days in birth care, and I found that really, really helpful in terms of feeding. There was a lovely nurse there. She was amazing and just sort of gave me all the advice I needed in terms of feeding and latching and bathing. And it was just the small things, like, being confident. Sounds silly, but like swaddling your baby and having the confidence to do that, and just going, okay, I'm doing it right, and just sort of that reassurance, knowing that they were there to help if I sort of didn't know what I was doing, which was really, really nice.
Awesome. I felt the same way about the swaddling thing. I think that was the one good thing that came out of our special care experience, was learning how to swaddle him, because I would have had no idea otherwise.
I know. I was probably very, very nervous, and I was very nervous. Like, oh my gosh, am I doing it right? Is it, And it was good to have that reassurance and going, okay. Especially because when we got home, midwives were only allowed in for a very short time afterwards, so there wasn't any hands-on support afterwards. So it was good to. The reason I went to birth care was basically to know everything that I needed to know and make sure that I had all the tools and the support, and the feeding side of things I was confident with.
Awesome. And is there any like continuity of care in terms of Philip and like his team and seeing you in those couple of days after birth, or how does that work?
Yep. So he comes to to birth care
Yep.
afterwards and checks in on you. So he does that, and then I there's a separate midwife that comes to your house. So I had Kathy McCormick, who has Holistic Baby, who's amazing. She was my midwife, and she'd come
Nice.
every week, or sometimes twice a week, and check in on with me. And yeah, she was amazing. And then 6 weeks afterwards, I went back in and saw Philip, and we had a bit of a debrief in terms of the birth and what went well, and was anything that I wanted to discuss, and sort of a check-in on how I was feeling postnatally, and if there was any other support that I needed as a mum, or emotionally, if there was
Nice.
anything that I needed to work through. So yeah, that was, I felt really well supported afterwards. And as I say, Kathy is amazing and has a wealth of knowledge, and I felt, yeah, really safe in her hands.
Yeah. Awesome. Cool. And how did you find like your mental health over that time? Did you notice that you had like the baby blues, or how did you find, I guess, just that whole adjustment to motherhood initially, so in that first sort of month or so?
Yeah, I found it really, really challenging. I think it was more, no one sort of prepares you for the sleep deprivation. I Bodhi was, a baby who probably for the first 8 months of his life slept for no more than 2 to 3 hours. So it was really, really challenging for me. We don't have a lot of family support. I have my dad and my sister, and they're amazing. But it's basically just Corey and I. So Corey also runs our building company and is on the tools. So it was hard for me to expect for him to get up in the night and to help me, just because obviously he's dealing with machinery and tools. So it was a challenge. I found it a huge adjustment phase, and literally just feeding sometimes 12 to 16 times a day. And I felt really unprepared, and I didn't expect it to be such an adjustment. And I think for the first month, it was just learning about being a mum and having no expectations on myself. Sleeping when the baby would sleep, literally just taking each day as it comes. And as long as I was showered, like that was my task for, each day for myself. As long as I was showered, then I felt a whole heap better. But there was definitely a few days afterwards, just random outbursts of crying for no reason. Just sort of felt overwhelmed, and was I doing a good job? I think as a mum, you're like, oh, I don't know if I'm doing the right thing, and sort of just learning to tr learning at that point in time to trust your intuition. So that was probably the biggest adjustment. But sleep deprivation was a real living thing, and I don't think anyone can prepare you for that.
I don't think anything prepares you for that until you're doing it right.
Absolutely. And now I think back, I go, oh my gosh, I don't know how I survived, but somehow you do, and you get through it, and you go, oh my gosh, what a sleep.
And when you sort of reflected on your birth, how did you feel about that whole experience, and what were your feelings towards your birth, and how did you find your recovery, so your actual physical recovery from birth?
So I was happy that I was able to avoid a C-section, and as I said, as long as I felt that if I could birth vaginally, then that was my aim. But I felt really empowered after my birth. I felt at peace with it, and I just felt that the main sort of objective I had for myself was to get my baby here safely, and whatever means that was. And I felt that I was really well cared for, especially afterwards and during. I knew everything that was happening. I was in the loop. Even though I wasn't in control, I kind of felt like I knew what was happening. So there was some elements of control. So I felt that, yeah, I felt well supported. When I think about my birth, even though it was quite medical, I felt that it was, it went as best as it could.
Awesome. Cool. And what about your breastfeeding journey. How did you find that after you left the hospital? I know you said you sort of had a really good experience with latching and then some help in birth care. What was the experience like from there?
Yeah, when I went home, I struggled. Bodhi was not latching. It was extremely painful. And I just remember sitting here, it was like 2 or 3 a.m. in the morning, just crying because I was in so much pain. And I didn't know what to do. My milk hadn't come in yet, and I was worried that he wasn't getting enough nutrients or anything from me. Luckily enough, Kathy actually came over the next day and gave me some really great tips in terms of feeding and positioning, and just sat here with me and just made sure I felt confident. And she sort of followed up with me and gave me some videos and resources to go over when she wasn't here, which was really, really helpful, because she was only allowed to be with the level 4 restriction. She could only be in the house for a certain period of time. So while she was here, I tried to learn or get as much information from her as possible. And she was really, really helpful. But I really did struggle with the breastfeeding initially, and eventually my milk came in and I felt like a sense of relief, like, oh, I can feed him. And as I got on, I became more confident. But that was something that I struggled with, and I think that probably isn't, you know, something that's well talked about afterwards. It's always about the birthing, and it's more, you know, I think for me it was after the birth, the shock of, you know, breastfeeding, sleep deprivation, and also this whole new identity, me becoming basically a whole new person, and having this little person completely and utterly dependent on you was a huge challenge. And the identity phase and accepting that you are a new person and you have evolved from who you were you know, before becoming a mum, was quite significant.
And I know that you mentioned sort of before when we were talking that you were in quite a high pressure career and, like, you know, really sort of ambitious and focused from a career perspective before having Bodhi. Do you want to talk us through what changed there for you afterwards and how you sort of adjusted and processed that?
Yeah, so I always envisioned that I would be this mom who had a successful career. I would juggle both and it would be fine. And then becoming a mom, everything does honestly change. I was in an environment where I was an HR manager of a investment firm, and it was, you know, high pressure. It was long hours, and it required a lot of attention and focus. And I thought, as soon as I had Bodhi, I just thought, oh my gosh, I don't know how I am going to juggle and do both and be really good at it. And it took a long time. It was like the way I describe it was grieving the past Nikki almost, and accepting that it was okay not to do both and to have a career and be a mum, and it's okay just to be a mum. And I think there's a lot of pressure around women that, you know, being a mum and having a career is, you know, is what a lot of people do. And I've seen a lot of people in the corporate world who do it really well, and they are who I've aspired to be. However, when I thought about what I wanted for my life and my family, I wanted to be around. I wanted to be present with my son. Didn't want him in daycare from 7 till 5, or, you know, long hours, 5 days a week. And we have our own business, so it wasn't possible for Corey to be at home with him. So I made the decision that it was time for me to step out of my career and step into our business, and which obviously I just do very part-time and ad hoc, but I wanted to be a mum and I wanted to be around and be here for the first few years of Bodhi's life. And it was okay to put my career on hold, and I can come back to it. And I'm not a failure. And I think that was a really hard process to come to. I felt almost Like I'd failed myself and I'd failed everyone else around me because, I chose not to go back to my career that I'd worked so very hard to get to. So that was a big tough thing. And as I say, it was actually like a grief process. It was almost like accepting that I was no longer the person I was, and that it was okay to become someone new.
Yeah, I think there's probably a lot of people out there who can sort of relate to those feelings and yeah, will really resonate with that part of your story. So thank you for sharing. Cool. And what about your relationship? So obviously you've got a new baby, which is a huge shift and adjustment for any relationship. So how did you find that shift between you and your husband, and also things like returning to intimacy? Yeah, what did you find that whole shift like?
No. I think I waited probably 12 weeks till after we first had sex again. And intimacy, to be honest, for the first 12 weeks, I was not interested. I was literally in survival mode. It was an interesting time. But look, after sort of 12 weeks, I think, we certainly found that, romantic side, intimacy side again. It definitely did return. There are times as though over the last 6 or during that first 8 months, as I say, I was so sleep deprived that it just wasn't a priority, and I didn't feel that. It was at the top of my list.
Awesome. And what about like your partner? I know you said that your husband and you own a business. So did you sort of do most of the child caring, I guess, overnight and all of that, knowing that he was working, or what was your approach there?
So I did a lot of it. I did the overnight stuff and during the weekends and at nights when Corey would come home from work, he would sort of be very hands-on. So one thing that I really enjoyed and sort of that I prioritized and made very clear when I was pregnant with Bodhi is I really enjoy exercising. It's my way to refresh and recharge, and it's something as a wife and a mother, I need to spend a little bit of time on myself each day, in order for me to, be my best self. So yeah, one of the non-negotiables for me was having sort of 45 minutes to an hour a day for myself. So Corey and I had an agreement that once he sort of got home, he would take over. He would do the bathing. He would give Bodhi his feed, and I would have sort of 45 minutes to an hour by myself. Sometimes I just go for a walk or I'd go down to the gym, but I found that really, really key. Just sort of having that opportunity to recharge and reset, and just have a moment to myself. Because when you are with your child all day and then all night, sometimes it can feel really overwhelming, and especially when you are sleep deprived. One of the biggest pieces of advice that I was given was just take some time to yourself each day, and you will be able to show up as a better mum yourself. If you're not taking some time out, it's going to overwhelm you. And yeah, that was the best of advice I received. So I just sort of, would go off to the gym, do a little something for myself, and Corey would focus on some of the nighttime activities. It was unfortunate because Bodhi never took a bottle, which was a struggle. So he was exclusively breastfed for 12 months or 13 months. Never took a bottle during that time. So that was also a really, really big challenge. I probably could have pushed it if I really wanted to, but he just wouldn't have a bar of it. And I just was like, right, I'm going to pick my battles, and this is just not one of them at this point in time.
Yeah, fair enough. Cool. And is there anything that you can think of that either you used yourself or you used for Bodhi in that postpartum period that was really essential
So it might be like a product or a service or anything that you can think of that, yeah, just made a real difference.
One of the things that I made myself do was get involved in sort of a mum's coffee group, which I did, and I did through Holistic Baby. And that was really, really helpful just to sit down and meet with other mums and also to get some advice from those in the profession and just know that what I was going through was completely normal. It was really, really helpful for me just to sit down and to chat with other mums who were going through exactly the same thing and to know what I was feeling or what I was going through at that point in time. Was normal, and everyone else was sort of going through it as well. So it made me feel a little bit better. As I said before, I was really worried that, you know, I think for me coming into motherhood, I was very anxious of, oh, am I going to be okay? Is it going to be, you know, am I going to do a good job? You know, am I giving my baby all that they need? But it was, yeah, it was really helpful to do that. Bodhi did have some colic, which was a bit of a challenge just getting him to, getting him to bring up wind. And yeah, he was a bit unsettled, as I say, with colic. So we did use the Q drops. They were called Colli Calm, which were really, really helpful and helped us sort of during the first 6 weeks. So that was a really, another really good product. Probably those two things were the main ones. The support afterwards was a big thing. And I think being able to be in an environment where we shared experience was really helpful for me as well.
Yeah. Awesome. Cool. And is there anything that we haven't covered today that you want to include in your story?
I think that's probably it. I think probably the only other thing which I'd touch on is just before I was pregnant, I suddenly did lose my mum. So that was about 3 months before I was pregnant.
Yeah.
And I think just going through pregnancy and dealing with grief was quite challenging at times. But yeah, making sure that I had a really good support network around me and being able to be in an environment where I could talk and just being very open with my emotions was really, really helpful. But yeah, it's obviously your hormones are all over the place with pregnancy anyway. So yeah, it was an interesting phase.
And you are obviously pregnant again.
Yes.
So it's so funny when I read your email, I was like, oh, 20 months, that's like relatively close. And then I was like, wait, that's pretty much the same gap as me between Jai and this next baby. So it's really funny. But do you just want to take us through, I guess, finding out that you were pregnant? Were you trying for another baby? And how did you find out? And how are you feeling now?
So we weren't trying, although we were going to start trying in a couple of months' time. So I mean, it was, I guess, you know, obviously it was, I guess, planned but not planned. I wasn't on contraception, no. So it was one night, one time, not using protection, and we were blessed with another baby. So very exciting. My pregnancy this time around has been very, very different in the sense that very lacking in energy. The first sort of 6 to 8 weeks, I felt very nauseous and lightheaded and just, really, really sort of almost wheezy most of the day. Luckily, that dropped off at about 12 weeks, but I sort of found out similar situation with Bodhi. I kind of felt off. I was at the gym and there's a cafe next to the gym, and for some reason I could just smell bacon running through the gym, and I was just like, oh my gosh, this is terrible. So I kind of had my first sort of, am I pregnant? Like, I'm like, surely not. I was still breastfeeding. My period did return pretty much straight away after birth. I think it was 6 weeks postpartum, and my period returned. So it was fairly consistent, but it was my cycles sort of varied between 28 to 35 days. So they were, it was very hard, you know, it wasn't like a set 28 or 29 day cycle. So yeah, I thought, oh, surely not, yeah, but surely yes. And I found we found out we're pregnant with our second baby, which is really exciting. Yeah, 20 month gap. I'm not
It's
sure how that is going to go, but hey,
gonna
other
be
people
great.
have done it. Other people have done it, and you just find ways. And yeah, as I say, I have a good little family support here. My dad and my sister are amazing, and Corey is, you know, pretty ha very hands on with Bodhi. So I'm sure I've been through it once. Although this time I feel a bit more equipped, like I kind of know what to expect, which is probably the most helpful thing.
For
Not
sure.
going into the dark, and yeah, kind of know, yeah, how to swaddle a baby, how to change a baby, how to bath a baby. So that's all helpful.
Awesome. Cool. Well, thank you so much for coming on the podcast, Nikki, and sharing your stories with us. I really appreciate it, and I'm looking forward to following along and maybe hearing about your next birth too.
Yes, thank you so much for having me. And yeah, thank you so much for having a platform for empowering women in terms of the birthing experience. And yeah, thank you so much. I listened to your podcast whilst I was pregnant with Bodhi, and found them so helpful. And yeah.
Thanks again for listening to this week's episode of Kiwi Birth Tales. I hope you have enjoyed it. And just a reminder about the sponsor this week, which is Your Birth Project, the online hypnobirthing or calm birthing course that is based here in New Zealand and run by me, completely online. So you can do it anytime. You've got access for 12 months once you purchase, and you can repeat the course as many times as you like to help you prepare for your birth. So yeah, I would absolutely love for you to go and check out the Your Birth Project Instagram, or head to www.yourbirthproject.com. Awesome. I will be bringing you another story next week, and I look forward to it.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.